Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert.
And this is David.
And this is Andy.
We would all like to welcome you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. So get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. Actually, do you have your coffee today here, David?
Well, I certainly do, Gilbert.
Yeah, I got that extra shot Americano, and I'm ready to go. Anyway, we're going into looking at mate scriptures and so on, and you had something you wanted to bring out, Andy.
Yeah, we started back in Matthew 3 talking about fruit, and we talked quite a bit about that. And I wanted to just make one point before we go on, that John the Baptist told the Pharisees and the Sadducees to bear fruits worthy of repentance. And one point that God makes over in John chapter 15.
Andy, it's repentance, not repentance.
Oh, sorry.
Is that a Southern?
That's a North Carolina version. I'm sorry, Gilbert.
Oh, they repent. They do repentance in.
I need to expand that word. I'm sorry.
I'm just giving you. I love to give Andy a bad time.
He likes me to enunciate correctly.
No, I'm just.
I know he's playing with me. Anyway, so. In John chapter 15, it says to bear much fruit. That's the proof that you are a disciple of Jesus. So you can't just say you're a disciple of Jesus and make you one. Bearing this fruit proves that you're one. So that's a big thing.
Is that all you wanted to say?
Yes.
I'd say that's pretty big.
It's pretty big.
I'd say it's real big. If you go onto our website at Gilbert and Friends, on the left-hand side, you go towards the bottom, there's a list of about 18 or 19 subjects that we go into and Bible, how to do a Bible study, how to look at the full picture, the full context, the mate scriptures, and so on. And we are in number 7, an even bigger picture. And what we're suggesting to people is that they make copies of these. You can print anything on the website and use it, but it's copyrighted. But you individually are more than welcome to use it and use it in your home Bible studies, use it in your groups. If you meet in a coffee shop, get together and print some for other people and go over it together, go over the scriptures. You're more than welcome to use these. We have friends in China, in Russia, and France, and Sweden, and all over the world. They are printing these off and doing these studies. And we'd like to express our gratefulness that you also love the Word and you're willing to look into these things and join us with a cup of coffee, of course, and or maybe tea if you're from China, and looking into the Word of God, trying to find out what is God's heart and mind. And the way we do it is we not only just read a verse, we read a whole context, we put mate scriptures together. And David even found out that not only in the Old Testament does it talk about seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read, not one of these will fail, not one will lack its mate. And because God's mouth has commanded these things, and then in the New Testament, it talks about the Spirit combining spiritual things with spiritual, and the Bible is spiritual. As a matter of fact, a lot of it's written, we have red letter editions, they're not exactly correct. Because if God is speaking, it should be in the red letter. And sometimes it's talking about the Holy Spirit speaking, especially like in the book of Revelation. You know, the Spirit is speaking to the churches. Why isn't that red letter? Or something to bring it out to people that the Holy Spirit is speaking, not just Jesus. And did you know the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus? So that should be red letter too. Very seriously, there are places that are not red letter that should be. So sometimes red letters are a bit deceiving. Have you noticed that?
Well, I've certainly have seen many things that talk about Jesus in the different parts of the Bible that aren't red lettered, but I did not notice exactly that quotations from Jesus necessarily were not in red, but that's an interesting observation.
Like in Revelation, it says, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then that's not in red letter, but the Spirit is saying it.
Oh, there you go.
And we're not giving the Holy Spirit equal time as being important enough to be a red letter.
I'm a real smart, sharp guy. It only took me 40 years to find that. I'm just making fun of myself.
No, that's an interesting point, Gilbert. I've never thought of that before, and it doesn't sound like David has either.
I hadn't either.
So that's interesting. See, we learned again, David.
Hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
So we really are students.
And I'm going like, now, why isn't that in red letter? Because I picked up before that the Holy Spirit is called His Spirit.
Absolutely.
Jesus' Spirit.
Yes.
So is Jesus still talking? That was ringing in my head, but like I said, I'm a slow learner. 42 years I've been doing this, and I finally picked that one up, so, you know.
Well, thanks for sharing that, because I believe the reason the words of Jesus are in red is because our salvation is dependent upon Him, but, you know, there's that portion of God, which He is referred to as the Holy Spirit, which very much also has to do with our salvation. And why shouldn't the words that are spoken by Him be in some form of highlight or color?
Yeah, maybe green, some pretty, or royalty. He's blue. The king, blue or purple or
royalty.
Red, like the colors of the veil mm-hmm. in the temple. They could be a purple color. That'd be an undertaking, wouldn't it?
You know,
David likes to highlight. I caused a problem for David years ago because we love to highlight our Bibles. And I've got a Bible in front of me where I highlight every time Yahweh is found. You'll find the Lord all in uppercase in the Old Testament. And then another year, I highlighted every time Jesus is found in the New Testament, and it's almost the same. If you just look at colors, you can see Jesus throughout the whole Bible. So we were in a Bible bookstore or someplace or in an office place, and I looked at, ooh, David, look at this. Highlighters in all these colors. And
like 10 different colors.
Yeah. The lust of the flesh came out in David's eyes, and he had to buy them. You should see his Bible. We call him Mr. Color Code Man for his Bible.
You've heard about Joseph and his multicolored garment that he had.
That his dad gave him.
And he was the favorite child. Well, I look at the Bible as being my multicolored garment. It's my Technicolor dream coat.
Yeah. Because if you look at the Bible black and white, there is much more. There are all these colors, and certainly the tabernacle showed all those colors. There was gold in there, all those jewels. There were 12 different jewels on the priest's vestment and on his mitre. And the shoulder pieces, and then the color of the veil and the hangings in the temple or the covering over the temple was quite beautiful and royal. So there's
there
color.
You have it.
There's color to the Bible. So there's not only mate scriptures and those types of things, but there is color, living color to the Bible. So anyway, we're continuing on. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. This is mate scripture number 3. It is number 7 on the website, an even bigger picture, looking at combining context and mates. This is number 3. Who's going to read this?
I could go ahead and read that. Ephesians 5, 6 through
21.
Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ.
So here's another scripture talking about the fruit of the Spirit, but in the light, being in the light versus being in darkness. So if a tree's in darkness, it's not going to bear fruit. And so what stands out to you guys in that one?
Amen. I'd say that's pretty evident by this.
And if you want to go look at light, there's a great one in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him was the light.
And that light was the life of men.
And of course, that is speaking about Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And did you notice in the creation story, God said, let there be light. And the sun and the moon had not yet been created. They're created on the fourth day. And yet God said, let light be on the first day. And so my understanding, just by looking at that, is God brought his presence back to the earth. So God came to the earth. His light, again, the light of God, shone on the earth. Some people have a light on in their house, but the light of God is not on in their house. Remember, the light that appeared to Paul that blinded him was above the brightness of the sun. Oh, there's another place it talks about. Here's a mate scripture again regarding the light. That light will penetrate into your heart. There's another place that talks about that. This is interesting that this light will penetrate in your heart and cause you to bring forth love, joy, peace, long-suffering. What else did you see in this?
Well, certainly in verse 11, it says, and do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. As we were talking about things that had to be lopped off, had to be cut off if it did not bear fruit. And this is another one that talks about that. Deeds of darkness are unfruitful. They do not produce fruit.
Now, remember the fruit of the Spirit. Back in Galatians 5, it showed you what isn't the fruit of the Spirit, what's the opposite, the lust of the flesh, anger, wrath, malice, strife, sex sins, anger sins, perversion sins, and so on. Then it showed you the fruit of the Spirit. There's a contrast here between two types of people. What types of people is it talking about here? One is the children of light.
And the other one is sons of disobedience.
Yeah.
That's in verse 6.
Yeah.
It says that.
Darkness, light, sons of disobedience. The two categories is very easy to see.
So let's position that now back over where we all started in that verse, Matthew 3:8.
The scribes and the Pharisees were matching up to being in darkness, and he told them that they needed to bear fruit or come into the light.
So they were really sons of disobedience.
Yes, they were.
And they were told to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. They were told to bring forth love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. And they were to come to the light, be children of the light, not sons of disobedience. Can a minister be a son of disobedience?
If they're being disobedient and if they're not bearing fruit. The proof of being disobedient is not bearing fruit.
There you go. And walking in darkness.
And walking in darkness.
What's the opposite of disobedient?
Obedient.
Obedience. Oh.
And the fruit of the light consists of three things.
Goodness, righteousness, and truth.
Talk to me a little about those.
Well, first one is a fruit of the Spirit, goodness. And the second one, righteousness. And the third one, truth. Now, the truth has to do with the Word of God.
And even the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth.
And he will lead us into
all truth.
And righteousness is part, we talked about this too, it's part of the kingdom of God.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Now look at, here's the three. It's more than double. What's the proof of being a son of disobedience? Using logic. What's the proof? Evil, unrighteous.
And lie.
Untruth. Secrecy, because it's light. This is the opposite. We're using logic here. Secrecy, disgrace, drunkenness, partying. If you use some logic in there, you'll find all of those as opposite. I made some of those up, but I just use logic in it. How do you think fruit trees would do in total darkness? How long do you think they'd even live?
Not long, I'm sure. A healthy tree needs light.
You ever notice how they prune an orchard? They space them the old way. Now, new ways are trying to cram more things in, but the old way of orchards is 20 feet by 20 feet. They left 20 feet space all the way around. You can take a tape measure, 100 foot, 200 foot tape measure, me being a surveyor, you could lay that thing out, and every 20 feet, there is a tree. I was driving in Fresno, California the other day, and happened to be just going through there, or Visalia, or the other areas, Sacramento. And I noticed, wow, those trees are close. I was seeing where my relatives
are. So they're crowding them.
Yeah, they're crowding them. But the one thing they do with fruit trees is that each one has to see the sun. So they prune them. There's no dominant tree. They prune them all level on the top. So the sun will get into all the branches so that photosynthesis can take place and they can all produce fruit. So light is hugely important to an orchard person. So those tops of the trees, that sun can hit every top of every tree. And Jesus being the light, right? Mm-hmm. It talks about being asleep in here.
And there's a call to awake. In verse 14, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead. That's interesting. And it says, and Christ shall shine on you. So being in darkness and being asleep is related to being dead.
Arise from being separated from God or being dead to God. Get up. Start reading your Bible. Start praying. Ask and it will be given. Seeking you shall find. Now, a person sleeping, they're not asking, they're not seeking, they're not knocking, they're sleeping. So you, my friend, are you sleeping or are you asking, seeking, and knocking and actively seeking God? So this is another mate scripture for seeking God. And here's a new one I wanted to look at. We've talked about this in our fellowship groups, but I actually found a scripture that shows this is another principle. This is the third major principle in searching the Bible, is to seek things out from beginning to end. Just not look at what you want to look at and what's comfortable to you, but to go from one extreme to the other. God, he inhabits eternity, and we should be able to look at any subject from one end to conclusion. We should be able to study it from one end to conclusion, not just get a halfway picture, but get a full picture. You know, when you get in a conversation and you just hear one little part of it, we want to hear the whole thing. So there was a Jew named Apollos. This is Acts 18:26, verses 24 to 28. And there was a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man. He came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. He began to speak out boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. He only knew one part. He only knew the baptism of John. Well, Jesus came after John, and John said about Jesus, I baptize you in water under repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I. I'm not even able to unlatch his shoelaces or locks. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And so he only knew part of the story. He didn't know the full story. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, and the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him, welcome this Apollos. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And so this Apollos turned, he was a religious teacher. And if you go back to Matthew 3:8, Jesus first tells these ministers, repent and bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Well, here, Apollos only knew the way of God up until the baptism of John, which was the baptism under repentance. He certainly didn't know about the baptism of Jesus in the Holy Spirit. So they got him aside, this Aquila and Priscilla got him aside and expounded the way of God more accurately. This word accurate is akrobos in the Greek, and it means from one end to another or one extreme to the other. So you won't know the whole picture until you've seen it from A to Z.
Now, an interesting thing about Aquila and Priscilla is that if you look at Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, and this is speaking about Paul, and it says, after these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, he came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. Now that is interesting that they had a knowledge about things that Apollos, though he was an educated man and he was eloquent in the scriptures, yet he lacked a certain portion of it that they were able to fill in, even though they by trade were just tent makers.
So they didn't go to a Bible college to learn this. They went to a little old Aquila and Priscilla who were blue collar workers.
Isn't that interesting?
Who happened to have a piece of the puzzle.
Yes.
So part of the trail of evidence goes through common men like Peter and his brother Andrew and James and John, who were cousins, and they were fishermen. And the Jews even marveled at their knowledge. Hey, we haven't seen them in Bible college. Where'd these guys come from?
And one thing about Aquila and Priscilla, too, is that they didn't talk to him when he was talking. They pulled him aside later and had a conversation with him to explain these things. So they were gentlemanly to him.
They didn't want to shame him.
Yeah.
We're at the end of our time. We'll continue this the next time. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque, 87193. Or call us at 480-205-3346. That's 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.